Flying backwards over the Earth's surface, thick silver letters edged with gold rise over the curve of the planet and form the word Universal in front of the lit-up continents. Beneath it, in smaller letters, a division of NBC Universal. Darkness. A flicker of soft red, pink, and blue light. Words Appear, an Independent Edge production in association with Telefilm Canada. Overhead, a glimpse of white light behind trees. Credits, Adrian Brody. Blurred red light moves in the darkness. Title, Wrecked. Moving, flickering blue, pink, and white light. Light moves slowly over the reddish hue of close-up skin and hair follicles. Glimpses of bright white light behind it. A wet, sickly eye opens and closes again, its lashes congealed. Moving over a cracked windshield with white daylight beyond it. The image fades to darkness again. The eye opens and focuses briefly on dense, thin trees beyond the cracked windshield. Fade to darkness, then a hole in jagged, broken glass with forest trees and plants in the background. The eye blinks, and the man turns his head slightly. He looks out at the mangled framework of a car window with the blurred forest beyond it. The man, early 40s with short dark hair and a large hooked nose, struggles to unclip his seatbelt. His head flicks back with the pain. He tries to pull his leg free, but it's stuck. He puts his hands on the dashboard and slowly moves his head to look in the rearview mirror. He adjusts the mirror with a shaking hand. His face is streaked with blood. He has small cuts around his mouth, nose, and eye, and on his cheek. He puts his fingertips gently to his bloody face and feels the skin. He looks in the mirror again, then around sharply at a dead man slumped in the back seat. The injured man, sitting in the front passenger seat, tries to free his leg but can't. He reaches over to the steering wheel, but the seat belt around his shoulder holds him back, so he pulls his arm out of it. He presses the horn on the steering wheel, but nothing happens. He spots another body lying on the ground in front of the crashed car. The man puts his head back and claws the air, then puts his hand to the side of his head. He sits upright again, composed but breathing heavily. He looks out of the broken window beside him at the forest of trees and white mist beyond them. He looks ahead at debris from the crashed car lying on the ground, a broken tree trunk, a ridge of green hills just beyond. He rests his head back. He yanks his leg with both hands as he tries to free it. Looking down, his face grizzled, blotchy, and streaked with blood, he holds onto the classical upholstered red dashboard with one hand and pulls at his leg with the other. Nothing happens, and he finds wet blood on his fingers from his leg. The man tries to open his door, pushing against it with his body. The man gives up and starts feeling along the red dashboard, trying to open the glove compartment. He gives up and takes some change and a small folded piece of paper out of his pocket. He slowly unfolds the piece of paper. Wearing a soiled light blue sweater with open shirt collars sticking above the neck, he looks over his shoulder into the back seat, then turns away again and nods to himself. He puts an arm through the gap in the seats and looks back at the bearded dead man slumped in the corner behind him, then he faces forward again.
Is in my fucking mind.
The man closes his eyes and breathes deeply. He opens them again and looks down at the footwell on the driver's side. He frowns and grimaces, then leans over and reaches down towards the footwell. A wrapped mint lies partially under the mat, but he can't reach it. He sits up again, his face creased with emotion, and looks briefly out of his window. He looks back and spots the keys in the ignition. The man reaches across and yanks the gear shift until it breaks off. He leans down and uses it to try and retrieve the mint. He reaches down with his hand, then sits up in frustration again. His face wrought with emotion, he starts using the gear shift to jimmy the glove compartment open. He pulls on it with both hands, and finally the flap falls. He takes out a small flashlight and turns it on to check if it works. He takes out a matchbook with two matches left in it. The man looks up, sad and thoughtful, then turns away. Nighttime. The man sits trapped in the crashed car in the forest, surrounded by darkness. Moonlight reflects off his bloody face and parts of the car's metal frame. He reaches over to the car controls at full stretch. He turns on the headlights, illuminating the forest in front of him, then turns them off again. He sits back and turns on the old-fashioned radio. The man sits in the dark and listens with a faint smile. The man sleeps in the car with his head resting back against the seat. He opens his eyes and remains still, looking up at the roof. The man slowly moves his head forward and looks around in the dark, some light shining off the metal window frame beside him. He turns to look out of the open window. He turns his head to face forward again. He reaches down and pulls out the car's ashtray. He taps it on the door. Rain hammers down onto the car's damaged roof. Inside, the man brings in the large ashtray and drinks thirstily from it. Leaning back in his seat, he pulls the ashtray away from his mouth and looks at the window. He leans over and sticks his head outside, turning his face up towards the falling rain. Later, he sits in the car with his hands held together in front of his chest, shivering. Looking desperate, he glances over his shoulder into the back seat, then faces forward again. The man looks around tearfully. He looks into the back of the car and reaches out to the dead man slumped on the seat. The man grabs hold of the dead man's jacket and uses his other hand to pull the corpse forward, sitting him upright. Turned right around in his seat, the man holds the corpse up while he struggles to take off its jacket in the dark, confined space of the car. He pushes the body back down and pulls the jacket away, sitting back in his seat and grimacing from the effort. The man spends a long time straightening out the jacket and pulling the sleeves out until it's right side out again. He puts one arm through a sleeve. The man pulls the arm of the jacket right up to his shoulder, then leans forward and gets his other arm through the other sleeve so he's wearing it. He pulls it tight around him and holds it together with both hands as he rests back against the seat. He glances around at the corpse behind him and nods, then faces forward and relaxes a little. Daytime. From behind, the man fidgets around in his seat. He lifts himself up slightly, looking down as he does something with his hands, pushing his body back into the seat. A stream of urine arcs up out of the window.
Oh, fuck.
The man sits in the car, looking around, with his hands clasped in his lap. In a sudden flurry of activity, he takes something out of the glove compartment and leans over to the driver's side, almost lying across the seats. He sits up again and clasps the top of his leg, then angrily hits the dashboard.
Fucking shit! God! Come on! Come on!
He looks around and calms down. From outside, the man's face features twice in the broken side view mirror as he looks at his reflection. He slowly puts both hands out of the window and picks at a piece of the broken glass in the mirror. The man holds the glass in both hands as he brings it back into the car and looks at it thoughtfully. He lowers his hands and looks ahead out of the windshield, then turns to look at the dead man behind him. The bearded, pale corpse lies with its head right back on the seat, his face bloody, the side and rear windows around him crumpled and broken. The man puts one hand over the back of the driver's seat and feels around in the back. He puts his other hand on the back of his seat to steady himself while he feels in the dead man's pocket. The man takes out the dead man's wallet and opens it. He pulls out an ID card with a picture of a man on it. He turns around to look at the corpse behind him, then he looks back at the ID card. The man studies it for a long moment, blinking steadily, his expression unchanging. He looks back over his shoulder at the corpse.
Are we friends, George?
George sits slumped with his head tipped right back against the top of the red leather seat. The man faces forward again.
What the hell are we doing here?
Nighttime. The man sleeps sitting upright. He wakes and looks up with a sense of alarm. The broken and cracked windshield in front of him distorts the moonlight as he looks away to the side, out of the driver's window, then behind him. He turns on his flashlight and looks at George's pale, bloody face, then he shines the light out of the narrow rear window into the blackness beyond. He turns the flashlight off again and listens. The man turns back to face forward, looking worried and scared. Daytime. Gently swaying trees reflect off smooth, unbroken glass. The man sits in the car, looking forward steadily as he uses the piece of broken glass from the side mirror to carve "Hello" into the red leather upholstery on the dashboard. When he's finished, he stares at it without moving, just blinking. He nods once and resumes the carving. Reflected in the rearview mirror, the man looks down as he works. His hand reflects faintly in the cracked windshield as he stops and looks up. The man looks back down at the words he's carved into the upholstery. "Hello, my name is..." He blinks steadily as he stares at the words. The man sleeps with his head resting against the door frame. He opens his eyes and lifts his head slightly to look out of the windshield. He moves forward a few inches, his body remaining stiff and hunched. Drops of water fall off the broken windshield. Beyond it, through the hole, a sparse line of trees, then a steep hill covered in green foliage, and the white sky above it. The man looks out with his partially clenched hand held in front of his chest, his eyes searching hopefully. Then he closes them and looks down, a slight shake of his head. He looks around and lets his hand fall into his lap. With a sudden movement, He leans down into the driver's footwell. He grabs the gear shift again and reaches for the mint. The end of the gear shift gets close to it, but doesn't quite reach. The man shifts position, then his expression changes. His hand moves across the carpeted floor of the car and closes around a gun. He picks it up and sits slowly back in his seat, staring down at it. He clicks the barrel open and empties bullets into his hand. The man looks down at the gun uneasily, then off to the side, then back at the gun. Later, he sits with his head resting against the car door and his eyes closed, the head of the slumped corpse behind him. He wakes and gets his bearings. He stares out of the broken windshield. The man frowns and peers forward. His hand wraps around the gun on his lap. Up ahead, a woman moves quickly through the trees. The man sits up.
Hey! Over here! Here! Hi! Hi!
The woman changes direction and approaches.
Come here. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hey. Oh, God. Hey.
He puts his hands out of the window as she approaches warily.
Oh, thank you. So warm.
He touches her face, then tries to get out.
Wait. Calm down. I'll get you out of here. Calm down.
She takes out a bottle.
Water.
The man snatches it and gulps it down. The woman peers through the window into the back, then turns away. She looks down, then holds up a sealable bag.
Are you hungry? Do you want this?
The man takes the bag and looks at the trail mix in it. He puts his hand in it and shoves the mix into his mouth. He eats the rest of the mix off his palm. The woman stands at the window watching him. Then she looks around anxiously. She looks back at the man, who waves his hand in the air as if to speak, then chews steadily. He stares ahead while he eats, his jaws moving more slowly. The woman watches him through the window with a concerned frown. He stops eating and looks from the woman to the bag, then his body begins to shake and he starts to cry. She hesitantly puts her hand through the window and touches his face.
Okay. Everything's gonna be all right now. I promise.
The man wakes up suddenly, alone in the car in the forest. He looks down at the gun in his hand, then looks up again. Nighttime. From outside the driver's broken window, looking in at the man as he sleeps with his head down. He wakes and looks around, out of the windshield, then across the seats and out of the driver's window. He looks out into the dark forest. He keeps looking out of the driver's broken window, listening carefully. The man's eyes move this way and that, and he frowns a little, then leans closer to the driver's window. He keeps watching the still, dark forest. The shape of a large, light brown animal moves briefly through the trees. The man frowns and watches a dog standing over the corpse in front of the car and nibbling at it. He looks around, agitated.
You get away from him! You hear me? Get away from him! Get out of there! Get out of there! I'm warning you! You stop that!
The dog runs off. The man holds the gun up for a while longer and peers out of the broken windshield, then slowly leans back in his seat.
That's right.
He looks around.
I warned him.
He shakes his head slightly. The man sits in the passenger seat of the crashed car, deep within the forest, staring unmovingly ahead out of the broken windshield. He blinks a couple of times as his eyes almost close. The woman sleeps beside him in the driver's seat. The man stares ahead, not looking at her, with the corpse behind him on the back seat and the other dead man lying out in the forest. In a slight trance, the man slowly turns his head to look at the woman next to him. She's gone, and the seat's empty. The man slowly faces forward again. Daytime. With tired, hooded eyes, the man stares at an ant that seems to be stuck on the dash. He reaches out and picks it up between his thumb and finger. The man looks at it briefly, then puts it in his mouth and eats it. He closes his eyes as his jaws slowly move. He opens them again, then closes them to swallow. He raises his eyebrows slightly and stares down with glazed, slightly watery eyes. The man slowly straightens his slightly angled head and opens his mouth, the skin of his dry lips taking time to separate. He closes his eyes again and silently mouths a word repeatedly. He slaps at a mosquito that flies past his ear, then starts hitting the dash in front of him. He bangs the door with his arm, then sits back. He hits the dash, then reaches outside and pulls on the door handle, but it doesn't open. He elbows the door, then pulls his leg with his hands. He grabs the gear shift and tries to jimmy the door.
Fuck, open. Fuck. Fuck. You son of a bitch.
The door opens an inch, and the man slams his body against it. He leans his head out of the window. He pushes it with his body and arm, and it slowly starts to open. The man lets himself lie down and falls onto the ground. The man lies on the ground among brown leaves and green ferns with his legs still in the car. He slowly moves forward to pull them both out, grimacing with pain. Barely able to lift his head off the ground, he gently rests it down. His shoulders relax, and his eyes close as he settles down into the ground. He falls completely still, then suddenly wakes. The dog, a large German shepherd, sits nearby with its brown-coated back to him. It turns to look at him, its black nose sniffing the air, then looks away again. The man looks up.
Oh. I'm here. I'm here.
His eyes try to close. The man rests his head back down on the bed of brown leaves, his eyes closed, and falls still. Looking up at the tall, thin, straight trees that reach up toward a pale blue sky and soft white clouds. Lying on his side with his head slightly lifted, the man puts one hand down and pushes himself partially up so he can look around. He looks towards the back of the car, then leans against the closed rear passenger door. With shaking hands, the man opens up a tear in his pants and looks at the wound below his knee, the bone sticking out of the flesh.
Fuck.
He sits up, leaning back against the car in the open passenger door, his legs splayed out in front of him. He reaches into the car and pulls the seatbelt out, then lets it go again. He turns the other way and takes the gun out of the footwell, putting it down on the ground in front of him. He reaches back for something else and pulls a clean, undamaged blue credit card out of the footwell. The man looks at the name on the front of it, Raymond Plazzi. His lips move quietly.
Who's Raymond Plazzi?
You.
He looks round at the woman in the driver's seat.
Raymond.
He mouths the name a couple of times.
Hello. My name is Raymond.
The car radio's on. The driver's seat is smeared with blood, and the whole edge of the man's seat has been slashed open, exposing thick, dark yellow foam. The man sits propped up in the open doorway. He pulls the loose red seatbelt out of the car and lays it on the ground in front of him. He reaches down to his injured leg, which he's laid a thick stick alongside, cushioned by a strip of foam. The man uses the seatbelt to bind it to his leg and form a splint. Oh.
identified three men wanted in connection with Friday's robbery of an Abbotsford bank. Eric Stapleton, George Weaver, and Raymond Plazzi are wanted.
Deaths of a female teller and security guard.
He listens.
Same thing in a silver Chevrolet, known to be considered armed and extremely dangerous.
The man looks dismayed. With his leg in the splint, he pushes himself along the ground towards the crumpled rear of the silver car, only the first three letters of Chevrolet still in place on the name sign. He lifts the partially open trunk, getting underneath it and pushing it up with both hands. The man stops and looks into the trunk at a bag with cash sticking out of it. He slowly reaches in and lifts up one of the bound bundles of notes.
Even if you do get out of here, you're fucked.
The man looks up with tearful, exhausted eyes. Moving slowly along the side of the wrecked silver car, its bodywork dented and battered, scarred with dirt and leaves. Moving slowly towards the rear, then around it to the man sitting with his back against the car, his splinted leg stretched out in front of him, his head tilted back, and the gun in his hands. He wakes and looks forward. Lying on his stomach, the man pulls himself across the leafy forest floor. He drags himself up a slope towards the freshly broken tree and the second corpse.
God! Oh, God! Fuck! 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 Oh, fuck!
Lying on his back, he slides a little way back down the hill. The crashed car sits below him. The man lies on his back, looking up at the sky. He slowly lifts his head, listening, and looks down at the car. A man wearing a black hood takes the bag of cash out of the trunk and slings it over his shoulder. He looks up at the injured man.
Help me. Help me.
The hooded man looks back into the trunk. The injured man becomes alarmed and pulls out his revolver, but the hooded man quickly raises a hunting rifle and points it at him.
Who the fuck are you? My leg. Please.
The hooded man watches him.
Please.
The hooded man quickly ducks behind the car.
Hey! Hey, wait! Hey!
He runs away through the trees with the money and quickly disappears. The injured man gets back to the car, shuffling along the ground, and looks inside the open trunk. He moves around the car and scans the dense forest in front of him with his gun held out, but there's no sign of the hooded man. The man looks inside a holdall left on the ground and finds cash still in it. He puts his gun down and pulls the holdall closer to him. He picks up one of the thick, neat bundles of cash and has a sudden flashback to the woman bathed in bright light. The man slides down a leafy slope with a small bundle of long, thin sticks in his hand. He stops and picks up more. The dog approaches and stops to watch him.
Hey, dog. Come here, boy. Come here, boy.
It looks off to the side.
What are you doing out here?
The dog looks back at the man, who averts his gaze and looks around the area thoughtfully.
You a good dog? You a bad dog?
The two of them look at each other. The man slaps an insect on his cheek. At night, a small fire burns. The man sits propped up in the open car doorway watching the flames. He puts the small mint in his mouth and closes his eyes. He tips his head back as he moves the mint around. He sits with his eyes closed and mouth partly open. The dog lies on the other side of the fire.
I hate mint.
The dog looks at him briefly, then turns away. The man sucks the mint.
I had a dog when I was a kid. He had a name. Duke.
The dog looks back at him for a moment. The man suddenly becomes sad and tearful. He looks down at the ground with raised eyebrows, then leans right back against the car and rests his head on the seat. He looks up at the night sky and a bright, thin crescent moon. He looks over at the woman, sitting near him and staring at the fire. She lifts her head and turns to look at him, stern and accusing. A flashback to the man in bright sunlight, clean and smartly dressed, stepping up to the woman and smiling. In the forest, the man looks troubled. In the flashback, he suddenly points a gun at the woman. She becomes terrified as he threatens her. In the forest, the man lies back against the car. He lifts his head and looks around in an emotional daze. The woman's gone. He looks back at the fire, deep in thought. He looks up, suddenly alert, and tries to lift himself. He puts one hand on the ledge of the back door and pulls himself up to peer into the car, the gun in his other hand. A mountain lion roars, and the man falls backwards onto the ground. He drags himself back into the ferns as the mountain lion paws at the corpse in the back of the car. It picks the corpse up in its teeth and pulls it out of the far window. The man sits up among the ferns and looks out fearfully. The car is empty. He slowly starts moving through the ferns towards the car. He lifts his head to look over the plants, and firelight reflects off his face. He looks at the gun he dropped by the car and quickly grabs it, holding it out, ready to shoot. The mountain lion runs away up the hill without the body. Daytime. The man undoes the belt around the corpse's waist and pulls it free. He ties it around the bottom of his splint, just above his ankle. The woman walks around the car, watching him intently. She holds onto a thin tree and steps down. She stands behind him, watching as he eases himself down the slope on his butt with his back to her. The dog runs on ahead, scampering down the hill with its tail wagging, and disappears into the forest. The dog walks over a rocky outcrop in the forest, the stones covered in thick green moss. The man comes behind him and pulls himself onto the rocks. He takes time getting himself into a more comfortable position, lying on his side, and looks down below. The man gently runs his fingers around a footprint in the wet mud and looks up warily. He crawls across the overgrown forest floor on his stomach, dragging his splinted leg behind him. The dog comes out of some bushes and follows him.
Guess I'll know.
He pulls himself up a hill and stops to look back.
Come on, boy.
He pulls himself along through some ferns on flat, elevated ground in the forest. The man stops to rest, lying on his back, and holding himself up with his hands as he looks around. He puts a hand over his ear. He rubs his head, agitated as he hears. He slowly moves his hand away from his head. The man sleeps with his back to a tree. From the bright, clear blue sky, moving slowly down the trees to a clearing in the forest with a narrow stream winding through it, the man lies on his stomach by the water's edge. He snatches at something in the stream. The man keeps crawling over the dried brown leaves. He stops and stares at a backpack lying on the ground ahead of him. The man looks around warily, then drags himself towards the pack, using his elbows and forearms to pull himself along. When he gets near, he stops and looks around again. He quickly moves to the pack and opens it, then sits himself up on his side and looks in it. He takes a bottle of pills out of a clear bag. The dog arrives as he tips pills into his hand.
Anybody out there, boy? Huh?
He takes the pills and puts the bottle back in the bag. He takes out a white water bottle and holds it up to his mouth, draining the last of the liquid out of it. He tosses the bottle aside, looks in the backpack, and takes out a clear, sealable bag.
Holy fuck.
He takes dried meat out of it and eats it. The dog approaches and stands in front of him, watching, its tail wagging slightly. The man stops eating and looks from the dog to the small remaining strip of meat that he's holding. The dog licks its lips hopefully.
Shit.
The man reluctantly breaks off a piece of the dried meat. He hesitates, looking at the dog, then holds the smaller piece out, and the dog gently takes it.
Here, come. Yeah.
He feeds the dog the rest of it. The man crawls on through the forest over the uneven ground of leaves, small plants, rocks, and fallen sticks. He spots a bill lying up ahead among the crisp brown leaves. He maneuvers himself over to it and sits up on his side without touching it. The man stops and looks around. He looks off to the side and repositions himself. The man shines his flashlight into a cave, and the beam lights up a cell phone lying on the ground. He stares at it with a frown. He lifts his splinted leg around the tree in front of him and shuffles down into the cave on his butt. The man slides down a shallow slope into the dark cave. Still holding the flashlight, he picks up the cell phone and flips it open. He holds the phone up to try and get a signal.
Fuck you.
The man lowers the phone and shines his flashlight deeper into the cave, illuminating some white bones partially buried in the earth. He scans the area and lights up the bones again. The man sits up with his small flashlight shining into the darkness. He moves it around and searches the ground in front of him. He lifts the flashlight up slightly and shuffles backwards as it lights up the face of a dead man lying on his back. The man looks around fearfully and leaves the cave. Outside, he crawls away through the undergrowth and reaches the edge of a steep slope that drops down away from him. He lies on the ridge, looking down at the forest of thin trees, with no sign of it ending or of any civilization. The man lies back and looks over his shoulder at the thin trees towering behind him beneath the misty white sky. Now, looking up at a scraggy canopy of tall trees beneath a pale blue sky. Moving slowly over the trees and down towards the ground with the sky behind fading to white. Standing up, the man walks to the edge of a ridge and looks down a steep tree-covered bank at a river below with fast-flowing white water. The man drinks from the river on his knees, feeding it into his mouth with cupped hands, then splashing it over his face. The dog walks onto a rock behind him and snaps at the water excitedly. The man looks round to watch it for a moment, then carries on drinking. The man puts his hand into a clear, still rock pool and feels around the bottom. He pulls out a worm and looks at it. He drops it, picks it out of the water again, and eats it. The man stares down with a slight frown as he slowly chews. Then he swallows and looks up with raised eyebrows. He lies on his side and plays with the dog by the river.
You're a crazy dog. Go get him.
He throws a stick.
Good boy. Bring it here. Oh, good boy. Oh, good boy. Good boy. Oh, good boy. Who has the stick? Who has the stick? Get it. Get it. Chicken. You're a chicken. Come on. Come on, chicken. Come here. You're a chicken. What a good boy.
The dog lies down beside him and chews a stick. The man pats its head and looks out over the water. He lies back beside the dog and spots the woman standing among the trees on the opposite bank, staring down at him. The man looks at her, then lowers his eyes. The water flows past, and when he looks back at the opposite bank, the woman's gone. The man nods slightly and turns away. He looks back at the bank again, then turns and looks the other way down the river. The dog stands up and presses against him affectionately. The man wraps his arm under its neck and kisses it, holding it close and pressing his face against it. The man lies on his side in the shallow water, one arm holding his head and torso out, the other hand holding up the cell phone. He slowly pulls himself towards the middle of the river as he tries for the opposite bank. He stands up, but the current knocks him over. The man's swept away on his back, one arm still holding the cell phone up as he tries to keep it dry. When the river gets deeper, he turns onto his front. He still holds the phone up. Further on, the river narrows and flows fast around a bend with jagged rocks on both sides. The man swept along in the churning white water. It washes over him and turns him around as he struggles to stay afloat. It carries him fast down the middle of the churning river, then close to some of the rocks on the bank. The man swept along in the white water, close to the rocks. Looking up at tall, thick trees whose branches block out the sky. Beside them, a thinner patch of trees which the low sun shines through. The man drifts sedately down a slower part of the river, on his back with the phone held up out of the water. He grabs a hold of a tree's hard, exposed roots on the bank and pulls himself out. The man maneuvers himself over the roots and lifts his splinted leg over. He lies down at the base of the tree and closes his eyes as he recovers. still clutching the cell phone in one hand. Sitting up, he flicks the wet cell phone open and checks the screen. It's blank, so he closes it again and looks away. The man crawls on his stomach through a clearer area of old sticks and mud. He crawls up a slight slope through undergrowth, ferns, and brown leaves. He lies on his back, pushing himself along with his good leg, the makeshift splint still strapped around his bad leg. The man sits against the base of a tree beside a waterfall. Night falls. Rain falls down, soaking the ground.
Hello?
A flashlight beam appears in the distance. It sweeps across the trees and over the man a couple of times. He pulls his gun and holds it out as a line of six people holding flashlights walk to the edge of the ridge above him. The lights move eerily in the darkness. The dead woman stands looking down at him, the search party moving behind her. The man sits with his gun pointed at her, then suddenly he's alone again. Daytime. The man sits huddled against his tree in shadow with the waterfall behind him. He's lying stretched out on his back on a slope when the dog appears. It quickly walks up to the man and starts licking his face.
What? What? What do you want? Go. What is it? Huh?
The dog steps back and looks at him, wagging its tail, with its ears cocked and head to one side. The man sits up and stares back. The dog turns and runs off. Further on, the man claws at the muddy ground as he tries to pull himself up a steep slope, but can't get any grip. Part of the ground comes away, but he moves slowly upwards. Later, sitting up, he uses his teeth to pull his shirt cuff out from his jacket sleeve, then dabs the wound in his leg with it. He tips some pills out into his hand and knocks them back into his mouth. Sitting up on a steep slope with trees all around him, he struggles to swallow the pills down dry. The man crawls up another gentler slope, this one covered in loose brown leaves with green mossy rocks amongst the trees. He pulls himself up using a sapling. He sits under a fallen tree in a slight dip, his face raised. In front of him, more trees, and just beyond them, the high hilltop.
Oh. What?
The man lies down and moves to the side.
What?
He looks up at the ridge again, then down below, the wrecked Chevrolet in the trees.
No!
The man looks around in confusion. He gets up on his knees and looks at the car again. He puts a steadying hand on the ground, his face contorted with despair. He holds his hand out and looks behind him. The man curls up and lies down. Then he's lying on his back with his hands up by his head. He pulls himself partway up a small, steep slope. He lifts his head slightly and watches as the woman walks down the slope towards him. The man turns away, keeping his eyes averted as she draws nearer to him. The man lies on the ground and looks up at her when she stands over him.
Fuck.
She touches his head.
Fuck away from me. Fuck away. I know what you're trying to do. I don't want you here. I don't want you here. I know why you're here. I know.
He grabs her and holds her against a tree.
What? You did this. You didn't think I would do it? Huh? Well, I did. I did.
The woman tries to push him off, but he keeps a hold of her as they roll down the short, leafy slope together. He sits on her and throttles her. The woman flails and tries to fight him off, looking up at him fearfully, but he keeps hold of her throat. Her movements slow as she weakens. The man sits up straight, looking down at her and squeezing her throat. He pulls out his gun and points it at her head. A small flash of gunfire lights up among the trees. The wrecked car sits still and silent with rain dripping on its mangled body. The man sits up with his back against it, looking down at the ground. He slowly lifts his eyes to look up at the steep hill beyond the trees. At dusk, moving slowly down a steep slope of brown fallen leaves and green foliage, past some broken trees, to the man pulling himself up. Just below him, further down the slope, the silver medal of the wrecked car. A sheer rock face covered in green moss with trees at the top. The man slowly makes his way up a crevice. He sits with his back against a tree, the pill bottle and book of matches in his hand. He puts everything carefully to one side and nestles down, looking around warily. In the darkness, the man sits hunched up against the rain, pulling the collars of his jacket around his head. Daytime. In sunlight, he lies on his front and pulls himself along the ground, moving quickly. Sitting up, he opens the pill bottle and slowly lifts it to his mouth. He tips it up, but nothing comes out. He lowers the bottle again. The man moves slowly through thick undergrowth, struggling to get past a small fern. He stops to rest on the dried slope. On drier ground, the man pulls himself up towards a gray rock with dried brown fern leaves lying on it. Lying on his side, he stops and looks up ahead of him. A small clearing on the slope of dried brown ferns, then more densely packed trees with blue sky above, the terrain different from the forest below. He leans against the rock and looks down at his scratched, bloody hands. The man struggles to tie a strip of cloth around one hand. With cloth tied around the hand, the man pulls himself across the dried ferns in the clearing in bright sunlight, slowly moving clear of the forest.
There's no road.
He stops, with sawn tree stumps scattered behind him. He looks out over the forest below, stretching into the distance. He moves on across the clearing towards more trees. The man puts his hand on a rock to pull himself forward. He turns to the side.
Shut the fuck up.
He nods. The man pulls himself along over flattened green grass, scattered with dried sticks. He stops, looking exhausted, and rests his head on the ground, then rolls over onto his back. He lies with his eyes closed and sunlight on his face. He opens his eyes slightly and looks around. The whites of his pupils show as his eyes roll up into his head, then close again. He wakes suddenly and looks at his hands. The man looks up at the bright sunshine, then down at the trees below him and his injured, splinted leg. He rests his head back and looks up at the clear blue sky and the tops of the evergreens. He lies with his eyes open, looking up at a clear patch of blue sky right above him. He looks back behind him at more trees and the dog barking at him. The dog runs away. The man closes his eyes. Then he wakes suddenly and turns onto his stomach. Up ahead, next to a tree, a yellow road sign with a jagged black arrow indicating a twisting road. The man stares at it, then starts moving across the clearing towards it. He pulls himself across the dry ground, scattered with gray boulders. He stops and rolls onto his back. He adjusts his position and looks down the hill as a mountain lion scampers into view. The man watches it fearfully and picks up a small rock. He starts crawling up the hill, dragging his leg through the dried undergrowth. He reaches a dirt road and scrambles across it, turning onto his back and looking behind him fearfully with the rock in his hand. He pushes himself up against the opposite bank and sits watching the grassy ridge, waiting for the mountain lion to appear. The man starts to warily shuffle back across the dirt road. From below, his head looms into view behind the long dried ferns as he looks back down the slope he just climbed, but there's no sign of the mountain lion. The man lies back against the steep bank on the other side of the road. He relaxes a little, lying in the shade with sunlight shining on the pale, dusty road behind him. The man takes the cloth off his hand and picks some debris out of the skin. He nods to himself as he looks out at the high hills across the valley. Bright sunlight shines down on the treetops. The man sits with his back against the dried, grassy bank and looks down the dirt road. He turns to look the other way and spots something which makes him peer more closely. He starts moving towards it, crawling in the small ditch between the steep bank and the dirt road. He reaches a body in dirty, dark clothes lying partially on the bank and facing away from him. The man prods its shoe, but nothing happens. He crawls closer to look over the corpse at the leaves on its clothes and then its pale, slightly rotted face. The man sits up to get a better look at the male corpse, who's clutching a small black bag. He looks in the corpse's jacket pocket and pulls out a small slip of paper, which he unfolds and quickly discards. He pulls out a larger piece of folded paper from the pants pocket and repositions himself against the bank. The man takes an ID card out of a wallet. It bears the name Raymond Plazzi and a picture of an unknown man. The man looks at him with a frown. He turns away emotionally and looks out at the view, then reaches into his own jacket pocket. He holds up the bank card he found in the car, also for Raymond Plazzi. The man leans over to look at the corpse again. Brief flashbacks to the bank robbery, then one of the silver Chevrolet waiting in the street and the man looking at it with curiosity. Another flashback of him sitting in a different car with the woman.
Because we've had this what? Conversation already.
Yeah, I know we have that conversation like...
Oh, God. Well, you just
you gotta do things like that, I mean...
He gets out of the car, leaving the woman looking annoyed. By the road, the man's eyes close. In the flashback, he steps out of a store.
Absolutely not.
He continues down the sidewalk, neatly dressed in the V-neck sweater over the collared shirt. He holds two paper bags under one arm and a jacket and book in the other. He spots the woman sitting on a bench with a takeout coffee in one hand, reading a magazine. He stops to watch her and she looks up. Men burst out of a bank and grab him.
Let's go! Out the fucking way! Let's go, guys! Hey. Gotta go! Come on! Let's go!
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you doing?
Go!
Oh my God!
What the fuck is this?
The robbers shoot a security guard and force the man into their getaway car. By the road, the man stares ahead as he remembers, his mouth slightly open, his eyes hooded and exhausted. The mountain lion jumps up onto the dirt road and walks towards him confidently. The man backs away up the bank and pulls the corpse onto his lap. He kicks the corpse into the road towards the lion. The man watches fearfully as the mountain lion drags the body away across the road. It disappears back behind the ridge and onto the slope below. The man catches his breath and leans back against the bank, one arm draped over a fallen tree trunk. The setting sun sits just above the opposite hill, shining brightly. The man flips open the cell phone. He runs his thumb across the screen. He moves his head slightly, looking down at the phone, and slowly presses buttons. A ranger in a cap walks the man to a truck, a blanket wrapped around his shoulders. He opens the passenger door and helps the man in. The ranger closes the door and walks to the back of the truck. The man clutches the blanket around him and stares down at the floor, his mouth open. The ranger opens the driver's door.
Dog.
The ranger walks away and the man sits in the front of the truck, not moving. The ranger comes back.
There's no dog.
The man watches as the ranger gets into the driver's seat. The man sits and looks around in an exhausted daze. He stares at himself in the side view mirror, then reaches for his seatbelt as they pull away.
You okay?
He stares ahead as he puts the seatbelt on. The man remembers sitting in the passenger seat of the red upholstered getaway car. As the three robbers argue, he quietly reaches for his seatbelt and puts it on. The robber sitting behind him holds a gun near his head. The man suddenly grabs the steering wheel and yanks it. The man sits in the ranger's truck, staring ahead as they slowly drive along, with a steep drop beside him and the green sunlit forest stretched out below. White credits on a black screen. Directed by Michael Greenspan. Produced by Kyle Mann. Written by Christopher Dodd. Executive producers Adrian Brody, Clay Epstein, Adrian Love, Noah Siegel, David Rexegel, Jeff Sackman, Patrice Theroux. Director of Photography, James Liston. Edited by Vibeke von Karlsfeld. Production designer, Michael Norman Wong. Music by Michael Brook. Costume designer, Andrea DeRoche. Casting by Carrie Rock. Line producer, Michelle Futterman. In association with 3-7 Entertainment. Adrian Brody. Title, Wrecked. Caroline Davernas. Ryan Robbins. Adrian Holmes. Adrian Hughes, Lloyd Adams, Jacob Blair, Mark McConchy. Rolling credits. Cast. Man, Adrian Brody. Woman, Caroline Davernas. George Weaver, Ryan Robbins. Raymond Plazzi, Adrian Hughes. Man in the Woods, Adrian Holmes. Eric Stapleton, Lloyd Adams. Security guard, Mark McConchy. Park ranger, Jacob Blair. Script supervisor, Susan Williams. Sound mixer, John Boyle. Boom operator, Scott Carroll. Assistant art director, Peter Bine. Assistant costume designer, Sarah Rakshande. First assistant makeup and hair, Trisha Porter. Special effects coordinator, Rob Paller. Animal coordinator, Paul Jasper. Mountain lion trainer, Jerry Terrien. Production coordinator, Philip Foldauer. Assistant production coordinator, Annie-Claude Langlois. Post-production supervisor, Scott Watson. First assistant editor, Gary Lamb. Music production, Craig Connard. Violin performed by Julie Rogers. Tiptoe Through the Tulips With Me, performed by Tiny Tim. Words and music by Joseph A. Burke and Al Dubin. Picture editing facilities, Finale Edit Works. Additional ADR recording in Montreal, Technicolor. Additional ADR recording in Los Angeles, Universal Sound. Produced with the participation of the Province of British Columbia Film Incentive, BC. The Canadian Film or Video Production Tax Credit, Canada Telefilm Canada. Filmed entirely on location in the Pacific Northwest. The events and characters depicted in this motion picture are fictitious. Any similarity to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. This motion picture is protected by the copyright laws of Canada, the United States, and other countries. Any unauthorized duplication, distribution, or exhibition may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution.